Welcome back to the Essential Astrocast. I'm your host, Veronica Peretti, and I am so happy to be back with you. Last week, I unexpectedly took a break from the podcast, not intentionally. I was preparing for my son's first birthday and baptism, which was on the day after his birthday. So he was born on March 15th, and we had the party on March 16th, and it was a lot. It was a lot energetically last week. It was a lot for me personally. I felt very anxious and overwhelmed by the planning and just the milestone. And I have been feeling all the Neptune activation, and maybe you have too. We've had a lot of Piscean energy, and my son is a super duper Pisces. He has a conjunction of the Sun, Mercury, and Neptune in Pisces, as well as Saturn in the sign of Pisces. And right now, of course, it's a year from when he was born, and Neptune is an outer planet. So Neptune is a planet that is not visible to us with the naked eye. We need a telescope to see it. And therefore, the outer planets, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, they are the planets of transcendence. They are generational planets, and they move much slower from our vantage point. So Neptune has not moved that much from where it was a year ago, because Neptune is a slow mover from our perspective here on planet Earth. And therefore, the Sun, Mercury, Venus, they're all coming through, and they've been activating him. So we've been getting a lot of Neptune stuff. And so if you've been feeling really spent, really tired, if you've had a lot of vivid dreams, if you've had a lot of memories and subconscious coming to the surface, if you've been feeling like the shadow side of your psyche has been coming up, these are all things that are associated with Neptune. Neptune is also associated with naivete or gullibility, or being, frankly, conned in some way. So one of the things I noticed lately is a couple of people that I hadn't been in touch with in a while showed up on my, you know, metaphorical doorstep and are deep in some what I would call culty stuff. And I was like, oh man, this is Sun Neptune illuminating where people are having their power taken away from them, you know, illuminating where people are giving up their autonomy to be absorbed in the belief of something. And that is Neptune, because Neptune is associated with our beliefs in spirit, whatever our experience of spirit is. And usually those ideas are unfortunately used in a negative way by people that want to gain power in cult-like situations. So just if you notice that coming up in the world, if you just notice that everyone's talking about some documentary, or maybe a friend from the past shows up and they're deep in something that you're a little suspect of, this is the Neptune energy. This is the Neptune energy really being present. I was talking to another friend of mine, and we were talking about how online business is going through this big reckoning. It's been going on for a while. But so much of what we've been talking about just seems to be a little bit louder right now. And that's because the Sun is illuminating it. And that's good. So, you know, all of that is to say, I feel like that was a rant. I didn't mean to go that long on all the Neptune stuff. But if you've been feeling like you're a little like, what is wrong with people? What is going on in the world? And, you know, or if you've been feeling really spent, really like just totally like weary, psychologically weary, like I just can't take in any more information. I just want to check out. I just want to be quiet. I just want to read a romance novel and escape. All of that is Neptune. So you may have been experiencing that. I know I have. We had Sun and Neptune join up on St. Patrick's Day. So you could have been feeling sleepy or weary, and you also could have had an empathy overload, which means that you're just feeling energetically so much what other people are experiencing. And for people that are empaths, that can be a lot. The Neptune energy can be really too much. So you might have had that. I thought I was having a Sun Neptune emotional psychological hangover this week. I don't know, maybe I am, but everybody feels, I've had so many conversations with astrology friends, other friends, that they are feeling like they just don't have bandwidth right now for anything extra. This could be a few things. It could be, of course, all the Neptune activation. It could be that we are at the end of the zodiacal year and now we are in Aries season, the beginning of the zodiacal year. It could be that we are in the eclipse portal and we're in the pre-shadow of Mercury retrograde. Of all those things, I think the Neptune activation and the eclipse portal are probably what is doing it for most of us. So welcome to Aries season. Welcome to a new zodiacal year. So I started with the sluggish stuff, so we can slough that off now and get excited about what is to come. It is Aries season. It is my season. I'm very excited. My birthday is coming in a few days. You know, Aries season is about being first. It is about being the initiator. Aries lights the match. We get it started. So of course it is the first sign of the zodiacal year. Aries is traditionally the first sign in the zodiac, and it is representative of rebirth. It's the rebirth of the season, right? Spring. Spring is associated with rebirth. The pagan tradition of Ostara, I believe it's called, Ostara, is always on spring equinox. Spring equinox is the day that the sun enters the sign of Aries. It's also International Astrology Day. And of course, Easter, right, has a lot of these same principles around it, this idea of rebirth, resurrection. So all of these traditions, all of these rituals lead back to the same thing, which is that as you see nature coming back to life, as you see the tulips pushing through the soil, as you see the little buds on the cherry blossom trees start to show up, as depending on where you are, of course, because, you know, if you're south, you're seeing more. North, where I am in New York, we're not seeing too much yet. If you're seeing, you're definitely seeing the bulb flowers starting to poke up. You're seeing the green shoots come up. So all of that is to say that we know that life is coming. We know that nature is ready to spring forth. And with that comes a sense of hope. And with that comes a sense of, no matter how dark the winter is, we always know that there will be new life. And we see that in the life cycle all the time. I recently have been hearing from so many people that it just feels like a lot of people are leaving this physical plane. And of course, we know that that happens all the time. People leave their physical form, they pass away, they move on. And in my world, like, I live in a very young community where everyone is having a baby, like every day someone's having a baby. So we know that these life cycles are always happening. And astrology is a great tool for helping us reflect on the fact that these cycles are always happening, not only in the grand scheme of the world, but also in our own lives. So even if you had a really dark winter, even if you were going through a really hard time, there's always going to be another spring. And that is the essence of Aries season. Aries is the eternal optimist. We Aries don't really like to look at the bad stuff so much. We like to keep our head moving forward. I always say that as an Aries, we're represented by the ram. We don't look to the left, we don't look to the right, and we don't look back. We just look forward. And I am the epitome of that. It's funny because in astrology, really astrology is most effective when it comes to reflection. And I found that that is such a powerful healing mechanism, but it's not something that comes easily to me because I always want to be thinking about the future. So all of that is to say, it is a time for hope and change and excitement, and you're going to get plenty of hope and change and excitement, well, at least change and excitement, with the eclipse season, because the nodes are, of course, in Aries and Libra. So we have the North Node in Aries and the South Node in Libra. So the next two eclipses that are coming at you on March 25th and then April 8th are in this part of your chart. So wherever you have Libra and Aries, that's where these eclipses are going to be happening. A reminder that an eclipse is a new moon or a full moon that occurs near the nodes of fate. So on the 19th of March, we have the spring equinox. Sun entered Aries. It was very late at night. It was a little early this year because we have a leap year. On Wednesday the 20th, when I'm recording this, we have Mercury and Chiron conjunct in Aries. Now, Mercury is in its pre-shadow, so pay attention to what is showing up this week because we're going to be revisiting it. And that means that Mercury is going to come back and visit Chiron two more times. Chiron is the wounded healer. Whatever's coming up with Chiron has something to do with what we got to heal. And it's usually, I mean, I like Mercury and Chiron together because it helps us express our feelings around something and hopefully resolve it. But if there's something that gets opened up around this time, just know that you're not at the end of it, that this story is going to have legs, and you're going to revisit it with Mercury retrograde. And then, of course, when Mercury goes direct and our post-shadow, when it leaves the retrograde. So, you know, the rules of threes with retrogrades, we get three hits to that part of our chart. So Mercury goes through those degrees, then it comes back through the same degrees, then one third time it goes direct through those degrees. So that part of your chart, the Aries part of your chart, is getting a Mercury cleanup. Mercury ascended in the cleanup crew, and that part of your chart is getting assessed, and you're going to find out what needs to be edited and what needs to be revisited and what needs to be revised. And then you get to do all of those fun cleanup activities, getting it just right, and then we move on. So Mercury retrograde is not evil. Don't demonize it. Don't worry about it. It is a natural part of Mercury's movement. It's the natural part of all the planets' movement. All the planets other than the sun and the moon are luminaries, have retrograde cycles. Totally normal. You know, back up your stuff, back up your phone, back up your computer, take all the normal precautions of Mercury retrograde. If you have an important meeting, you just want to like send that email or text to just confirm, like, hey, just confirming, we're meeting tomorrow at 4 p.m. You know, do those extra due diligences, do those cross the T's, dot the I's, but overall, you don't want to demonize it and you don't want to worry too much about it. Not ideal for signing contracts. Aries is associated with tempers flaring. Aries is also associated with war and fights and arguments. So, you know, not a great Mercury retrograde to have a very intense conversation with someone, particularly someone that you know has violent tendencies. And just, you know, Aries is fiery. So all the fiery things, anything dealing with fire, just be careful. Anything, you know, fire is representative of not only having a hot temper, but also spirit. So your spirit, your passion, those things you might revisit. You might be like, wait, am I really passionate about this? Do I want to be doing this? Those are things that might also be evaluated with this Mercury retrograde. So we're not at the Mercury retrograde yet. Mercury will retrograde on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, which is obviously quite funny. But yes, it is retrograde. I'm not fooling you. But that's it about Mercury retrograde. So the rest of this week, the 21st, we have the Sun sextiling Pluto, and we have Venus conjunct Saturn. This is the day of the week that feels the most intense for me personally. Of course, you don't just feel transits on the day that they perfect. You feel them leading up, and you might feel them afterward as well. So The Sun and Pluto joining together with a sextile, they're helping each other out. This is actually really nice. So a lot of people, of course, also demonize Pluto, but Pluto is here to help us rebirth ourselves. Pluto is here to help us transcend. But when the Sun and Pluto work together in a sextile, this is really helpful because this can help us really go deep and get to the bottom of something. This can help us dig in. Venus conjunct Saturn, similarly, it's going to help you clarify what's really, really important and then commit to those things. So I like both of these aspects. Of course, we have Venus and Saturn in Pisces, where Venus is exalted. So that feels nice to me. It feels like, what are you going to commit to in the long term that really, really matters? And that also speaks to your soul, because Pisces is associated with our spirit and our dreams. So I kind of like it. A lot of people will say that Venus conjunct Saturn can make you feel lonely. It might feel you have you questioning your relationships. It might have you questioning the things that you're putting a lot of energy and time and resources into. And you might. But there's always two vibrations, right? There's always a high vibration of a transit, of a planet, of a sign, and there's always a low vibration. And so the high vibration is you double down on what's feeling good, what brings value to you, what relationships are serving you, and where you feel like you're showing up and being your best, highest self. So it also can bring a practical approach to love and relationships and a commitment to your boundaries. Because guess what? Saturn loves a boundary. Saturn loves a container. He loves a structure. He loves a system. So you might be putting some boundaries into place. And remember that boundaries are for you. You don't need to announce your boundary. You can build your boundary. And just, you know, boundaries are for you. They're not necessarily for announcing to the other person. We teach people how to treat us, right? And so the boundary is really something internal. But this is a great day for committing to a long-lived relationship. Now, on Friday, the 22nd of March, we have Mars moving into Pisces. This is a pacifist energy. So Mars is the ruler of Aries. This Aries season, it might not feel super hot. It might not feel super motivating. It might not feel like super go get 'em, because the ruler of Aries is Mars and he's in Pisces. And Pisces is a pacifist, peace-seeking sign. Pisces is motivated by feeling. So this Mars in Pisces says to me that this Aries season is going to have a lot to do with how we're feeling, not necessarily what we're doing, which is what Aries kind of likes to consume itself with. We're big doers, Aries. We're not such big feelers sometimes, depending on the rest of your chart as a Sun and Aries person. So finally, on Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, we have Venus sextile Jupiter, and this is a lovely, sweet day. I have to say, there's a lot happening in the sky, but I really like the transits that we have this week. I know it might feel intense because all these things are intense, but I think they're intense in a good way, and I think they're bringing things to the surface that we have to work with. And I know for myself, I'm having a tough week in terms of just feeling really spent and feeling really not great in my body. And I know that those things happen when I have to tend to myself, when I have to do some healing and some taking care of myself. So all those things just implore me to slow down. And so you might be getting that message, like, you gotta slow down. And because it is eclipse season, you don't want to overdo it. You know, the Aries energy is one of going full out, and you don't want to go full out right now because, of course, Mars is in Pisces. We're in eclipse season. We're in the retrograde shadow. Like, these are all things that are telling you to slow down. which I know can be frustrating because we just talked about how it's the rebirth, it's the beginning of spring, but that's okay because we got a whole zodiacal year in front of us with lots of good aspects coming, lots of good astrology, lots of exciting stuff coming in late April. So all of that is to say that Sunday is the sweetest day of the week. So if you've got something special that you want to plan, Sunday is a great day to do it. The 24th, Venus sextiling Jupiter are two benefics, happy and talking to each other, working together. Venus in Pisces, where she is exalted. Jupiter in Taurus, where he is having a great time, you know, eating all the food, drinking all the wine. Finally, the most important thing is that we have a full moon lunar eclipse on Monday, March 25th. Now, I'm not going to save this for next week because I am actually going to be taking a little time off for my birthday. My birthday is the 26th of March, and my solar return chart has this eclipse, so wish me luck for my next year of life. I don't remember last time or if I've ever had an eclipse on my birthday in my solar return chart, so I should actually research that. All of that is to say, of course, that next week there will not be a podcast. I'm going to give you all the details now because next week is actually a quiet week other than there's a couple big things happening next week, but there's not a lot of stuff happening. So I'm going to tell you about the big stuff now so you're prepared for it. And you can always come back and listen to this episode again, but there won't be a podcast next week. So today we're covering all the way through April 1st because I already told you that on April 1st, Mercury is retrograding. So you already know what's happening there. So Monday, March 25th, we have a full moon lunar eclipse in Libra, which is about release. So this is eclipse time is a portal of energy, right? It's a vortex of energy that we go into. Eclipse time is not for making manifestation rituals or setting intentions that are like really hard set. You want to work with the energy, sit back, allow yourself to be open, curious, and allow things to unfold in their own divine timing. Eclipses can feel like we are in the cosmic pressure cooker. And so we've been in that already for about a week or so, week and a half, when I'm recording this. And we will be in this for a little while because, of course, March 25th, we have that full moon lunar eclipse in Libra. It's going to be at 5 degrees. So if you know your chart or you have like the time passages app or something like that, you can check if there's anything at 5 degrees in the cardinal signs. So Aries, Libra, Capricorn, Cancer, those things will be very much impacted if you have something at 5 degrees of the cardinal signs or close to it. This is a pretty interesting eclipse because we got the South Node in Libra and there's a yod forming, which is basically, it's just an aspect that occurs in astrology that the nickname for it is the finger of God. And so the finger of God is, the hand is created with Venus and Jupiter in that sextile that I just spoke about, which is like that really sweet, loving, awesome energy, that energy of like the two benefics working together, making things happen. Really good manifestation stuff if it were an eclipse season. And they are pointing together at that south node in Libra. So something about release, letting go of the past, really important with this eclipse because that south node is being highlighted by those two planets. Because it's a south node in Libra, you know, releasing stale partnerships, releasing people pleasing, releasing imbalanced relationships where you feel like you're giving more than the other person, or maybe the other person is giving a lot and you're giving nothing. It's a restoration of autonomy, of independence, of trusting your gut, of speaking up for yourself, of speaking out against injustice. Libra is the scales. It wants to find balance and justice. Aries, where the North Node is, it's about taking action. So we are restoring those Aries energies in an effort to right that balance in Libra. So with the nodes, you want to always find balance between the two. So The Aries North Node has been in a conjunction with Chiron, and that will still be, you know, present in this chart. And it also recently had a conjunction with Mercury, and Mercury, I believe, will come back to the North Node on its retrograde journey. So as I said, Mercury is revisiting this spot in the chart in Aries, wherever that is in your chart. So whatever's coming up right now, whatever comes up with this eclipse, like, you just want to, like, keep note, just put it in your journal, put it in your notes app. Like, here's something that's on the boards. This is what I've been thinking about a lot. A lot of people are coming up to me with this kind of a story, or I keep feeling this way in my relationship or in multiple relationships in my life. Keep tabs on those things. With that said, you know, it's an eclipse. So be open to the unexpected. We never know what eclipses are going to bring us. My friend Catherine Urban calls them cosmic course correctors. So a lot of the time we have a vision of how something is going to pan out, and then the eclipses come in and they put us on a different course, or maybe they just, you know, move you a little bit to the left. You know, maybe you were veering to the right and they said, no, maybe veer to the left a little bit. So be open to those shifts and changes with the eclipses. Then next week, because I'm going to give you the week ahead, Venus will sextile Uranus on the 28th. Venus sextiling Uranus, it brings the unexpected. You know, Uranus likes to be a little avant-garde. Venus is in Pisces, where she's really happy. So you might want to get a crazy haircut. You might want to change up your style. You might want to change up something in your relationship. You might want to try something new. You might want to mess with your routine a little bit. You know, anything that's in good fun is great, but if you are potentially going to regret it in 72 hours, then don't do it. Then just give yourself a little bit of time. Get through eclipse season before you make that change. That's all I got to say about the Venus Uranus, but could be really fun. You know, that's a day where, like, maybe you and your partner are like, you know what, let's just be a little bit free-spirited and go do this thing we always say we're going to do and we never do it. You know, that's kind of the energy of Venus Uranus. It's just carpe diem. Let's enjoy life. Let's have fun. Let's do something that isn't necessarily our usual. It also can be inspiring. You know, Uranus is the, it can kind of give us a bolt of inspiration. Uranus and Mercury co-rule the nervous system. So it can be inspiring. It can be a little bit agitating. See how it feels for you. So later that week, of course, is Good Friday and Easter. And then we have Mercury retrograde on April Fool's Day. And then we are going to be deep in eclipse season at that point. We'll be in between the two eclipses, because the next eclipse, the big eclipse, is the new moon solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. And I will be back here before that to talk to you about it. But definitely circle your calendar. In lots of parts of the U.S., you will be able to see it. Well, mostly like the East Coast, Northeast, Midwest, down through Texas, I think. This is a big one. So again, do not underestimate eclipse season. We are in the vortex. Allow yourself to be open, curious, and interested in how your course may be corrected in this time. All right. So I hope you have a wonderful couple of weeks. I'll be with you before that second eclipse. And if you are not on my email list, make sure you get on my email list. You can go to veronicaparetti.com and sign up on the homepage. And stay tuned. Make sure you're on the list, because I'll send out the next date soon for the next Cosmic Conversation. Those are my free Zoom sessions that I do once a month, where you can come and ask me any astrology questions you have, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the moment. All right. I hope you are doing great, and I'll talk to you soon. One more thing before you go. If you like the show, please subscribe, follow, rate, and review it. It really helps other astrology enthusiasts find the Essential Astrocast. And even better, send this episode to one of your friends who you know will appreciate it. It would mean the world to me and it will help more people find the podcast. Okay, until next time, may the stars shine brightly upon you.